2. Mark chapter 2. Just a reminder that tonight, hopefully everybody got a bulletin on the way in, and you'll see there's a few things that are going on here at the church. Tonight, prayer gathering, 6:30, some Bible studies that are here during the week. Hopefully you can make it out to one or some of those. We've been working our way through Mark over the last couple of months, and hopefully as we do this, we'll get a clearer picture of who Jesus is, what he has done, what he came to do, and develop a stronger relationship with the Jesus that the Bible reveals to us. So Mark chapter 2 today, starting at verse 23 through verse 28. Mark 2, 23 to 28. One Sabbath he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can gather around your word. We believe that it is true. We believe that you are speaking to us in it. Show us, Lord, what you want us to see about the Sabbath, about Jesus and his relationship to us. And we ask, God, that you would make us more like him as we see it. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, just wanted to give you a quick roadmap, a rough roadmap, I guess, as we begin spending some time together in the Lord's Word. I just want you to see that the issue that is at the heart of this passage is the Sabbath. The Sabbath. It's not something that is extremely common, I guess, being discussed in Christian circles, but we need to understand what it is. I want to give you a little bit of background about what the Sabbath was for the Jewish community. I want to give you an explanation of this specific passage, what's going on here. And then I want to show you how the Sabbath connects to Jesus, how Jesus then connects the Sabbath to us. And that's where we're going to eventually land the plane. Have you ever read a book before? Or maybe you've watched a movie that started at the end. I saw one recently where it starts with a scene where you don't know what is going on. You're kind of wondering, how did we get to this point? And I guess that's the point. They're trying to bring you to this this question in your mind. How did we get here? How did we get here to this specific moment? And then the rest of the movie kind of fills in the gaps, takes you back a little bit, and shows you how you got to this particular point. If we were to start in Mark chapter 3, just a few verses ahead of where we're at, it says, "The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against Jesus, how they were going to destroy him." Man, how in the world, so quickly in Mark, did we get to this point where you've got people who are wanting, they're collaborating to kill Jesus? Two chapters in. I mean, so what were we, the way that we've gotten to this point is that chapter 2 was spent, or has been spent, showing us conflict, the conflict that Jesus has with the religious authorities. And eventually, those series of five separate conflicts build up to this point where the Pharisees, the religious people, and the Herodians, a very secular, politically motivated group of people, they didn't agree on anything. But here they are agreeing that they should come together and kill Jesus, the greatest man who has ever lived. How did we get there? How did we get there? So over the last few weeks, at three of these stories. And so already in the minds of the Pharisees, Jesus is a blasphemer. At the beginning of chapter 2, he forgave a man of his sins. Nobody does that except God. And Jesus claims to be God here by forgiving a man's sins. So he's a blasphemer in their minds. And then Jesus is a friend of sinners. He calls Levi, the tax collector, to be his disciple. Why is it that this man feasts, spends time with tax collectors and sinners? He enjoys fellowship with these people. And then last week, we saw how Jesus subverts the authority of the Pharisees. He doesn't listen to their rules. He doesn't do what they say. And the crowds are beginning to listen to Jesus more than they are listening to these Pharisees. And what we're going to see in today's passage is that this religious group of people, they accuse Jesus and his disciples of not keeping the law. They don't keep the law, specifically the fourth commandment regarding the Sabbath. I want you to hear from Exodus chapter 20, the law of Moses, the fourth command here about the Sabbath day. Listen to what the Lord said to the people of Israel. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. No one was to work on the Sabbath day. They were to rest. That would be what we would call Saturday. That is the seventh day of the week. And so the Jewish people were to observe that throughout their generations. No one was to work but to set it aside as a day unto the Lord. So look there in Mark chapter 2, verse 23, and then see what the disciples of Jesus and Jesus himself were being accused of. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, the question popped into my mind, and I was reading this, what do you mean as they were walking through the grain fields, Pharisees were beginning to accuse Jesus? They must have been following him. They were following him, they were watching him, they were spying on him, looking to see what it was that Jesus was doing that they could accuse him of. Well, they found something here. They said to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Why are they breaking the fourth command? Why are they not doing what God commanded them to do? And this is not the only time in Jesus' ministry when he is accused of being a Sabbath breaker. And what you and I need to understand as we look at this is that this is not a minor thing in the Jewish community. This was a very important command. It's not like what we might think of when somebody runs a stop sign, they broke the law. It's not what we might think of when somebody breaks the speed limit, like something that, you really shouldn't do, but it's kind of okay if you do it under certain circumstances. Now, to the Jewish community, this was much more serious. This was breaking one of the Ten Commandments. And according to the command that God gave to Moses, who broke the Sabbath, was either to be cut off from the community, so become an outsider, to become a stranger, no longer part of the family of faith. That was either to happen or they were to be put to death. So this was a very serious command in the eyes. What was the big deal in particular about this issue? Why is it such a big deal? Again, I don't think it's anything like not going to church on Sunday today. Nor do I think it's anything like you might decide to take a shift at work on Sunday afternoon. This was the central day on the Jewish calendar where these people celebrated being chosen by God. It made them unique. It made them special. The Sabbath was the sign of the covenant between God and Israel. The sign of the covenant between God and Israel. Listen to the Lord's words from Exodus 31. He says, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you. And I emphasize that. See that? This is a sign. This day, when we set it apart, this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. So every day, when you set this day apart. It was to remind you that you belong to me and that I am the one who makes you holy. I make you unique as you remember this day. God says more to them in Deuteronomy chapter 5. He says, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. What was happening on the Sabbath day? That it was to be a reminder of their salvation. So every time that Saturday rolled around, the Sabbath began, they were to be reminded that they had been saved by God. It was a sign to them that they belong to the Savior God. So here in the minds of Jesus' opponents on that day, he is breaking the Sabbath, and as a Jew, he is rejecting the sign that makes the Jewish people completely unique. And in a sense, he is rejecting, in their minds, the salvation that God has given to this people. So I don't think the word serious is quite serious enough for the accusation against Jesus here. But why is it, as we're looking at this particular passage, why is it that they think that Jesus is breaking the Sabbath? Why do they think that he is breaking the Sabbath command? Well, the issue here is what the word work means. Work. Because the fourth commandment says that no one is to work on the Sabbath day. God rested on the seventh day of the week. He rested from his work when he created the world. And that became the substance of this command that God was giving to Israel. No work was to be done on the Sabbath, on the seventh day of the week. Well, what exactly is considered to be work? What is work? Who gets to say what work is? Who gets to define what work is? Because work to you might not be work to me, or maybe the other way around. I've met a few people who say that they really like to fold clothes. Not me. It's work to me, where it to them. It's God's law here to be. What does he consider work to be and therefore not to be done on the Sabbath day? Well, we need to see that only in a few places any definition given at all to what work is in the Old Testament and can't be done on the Sabbath day. There's only four things that are given in the Old Testament specifically that are not to be done on the Sabbath, and that is kindling a fire, gathering manna, selling goods, and bearing a burden. That's it. Those are the only specifics that are given. But the Pharisees were so concerned about breaking the command of not working on the Sabbath day that they came up with their own list, 39 things that are considered to be work and cannot be done on the Sabbath day. Because they were so concerned about it, they came up with their own rules that they added to the Old Testament law to ensure that they were not breaking it. And that's important to know when we come to this episode with Jesus. So what exactly here are Jesus and his disciples doing? What are they doing that is considered to be work by the Pharisees and now makes them Sabbath breakers? Well, as we read, they were walking through a grain field, plucking off heads of those grain for food. What's so wrong about that? Well, according to the Pharisees, they were reaping. They were reaping in the field that day and therefore working. And no, they weren't reaping with sickles or they weren't out there with a grain harvester. They were walking through with their hands and plucking these heads of grain to eat. They were giving their bodies what they needed simply by grabbing with their hands as they walked through a field, which, according to the law, is permissible in Deuteronomy chapter 23. But here's where it gets interesting, or at least I thought it got interesting as I was looking at it this week. It seems to me that the answer that Jesus would have given to these people is that he would have said something like that. We're able to do that. We're able to walk through this field and pluck these heads of grain. You have no right to tell us what we can or cannot do because the law says that we can. You've just made more rules up and added them to the law of God, and you've made them a burden for the people. It seems like Jesus could have been very simple and thrown that out there and put these people in their place, but that is not what he does. He gives them a Bible passage about David eating some bread that they weren't supposed to eat, that seems at first to have not a huge connection to this episode here that's happening with his disciples. Look at verse 25. This is where he begins to give his answer. 25 and 26. Let's read it again together. And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him. How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him." So it seems that the main connection that Jesus is making, the clear connection that Jesus is making here, is that his disciples were eating bread out of a field, and he's giving them a reference to a passage in the Old Testament where David and his disciples, his followers, went to the priest and got food to eat that they were not supposed to eat. This is from 1 Samuel chapter 21. David was running from Saul. He and his men were running from Saul. His life was being threatened. And so he stopped at the temple, asked the priest there, "Is there any food here for me and my men to eat?" And the priest said, "The only thing that's here is the bread of the presence." This was bread that was holy. It was made for the priest to eat. It was set out every day. Nobody else was supposed to eat this bread. But the priest says to David, "That's all that we've got here. You and your men can eat this." They weren't supposed to, but because they were hungry, the priest allowed them to do it. And so the issue of eating is the main thing here. People are hungry. They need to eat. Somebody says they're not supposed to, but they are allowed to because their bodies needed it. So Jesus is saying that there are specific occasions when the needs of man outweigh specific rules. But Jesus is doing more than making excuses for his disciples. He's doing more than saying that it's okay that they're eating this grain out of the field. Jesus is comparing himself to David. David. One of the two or three most recognized figures in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible, David, the great king. Jesus is making a comparison between himself and David here. And David in his time was an Old Testament figure who was a kind of Christ who was yet to come. He was the great king who foreshadowed a greater king who was still on his way. And what Jesus is saying here to these people: if David did not break the law when he did that, when he ate the bread of the presence, neither am I breaking the law when my disciples need these grains of head for food on the Sabbath day. Now, Mark doesn't really give us a clear explanation. That's what Jesus is trying to do here, but Matthew does. The same story is told in Matthew chapter 12. But Matthew gives us more words, and more words are helpful here. There, Jesus gives another illustration. He tells us something else. He adds something in that story in Matthew, where he says to them that something greater than the temple is here among you. He says that I am greater than the temple. So by using the example of David, what is Jesus doing? He is saying something greater than David is here in front of you. And if David was not accused of breaking the law, the one who is greater than David is not breaking the law either. That's Jesus' argument. He finishes here by giving a final hammer blow. He says, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." He is claiming superiority over the Sabbath day. I think there's two primary teachings that Jesus is giving us here in that statement. And the first one is that the intention of the Sabbath day was to bless man, not burden him. So the intention of the Sabbath day is to bless man, not to put a burden on his back. So he says here, the Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath was there to serve man. It seems that the Pharisees here are missing the point of that. They were not concerned with how the law benefited mankind. That wasn't their worry at all. They simply wanted mankind to keep the rule. Have you ever met somebody like that before? They're just all about the rules. Only concerned about keeping the rules. Not why the rule is there, not what the rule is supposed to do. Just keep the rules. And if you mess up the rules, they get all messed up. That's what's happening here with the Pharisees. They just want the people to keep the rules. They don't ask the question, why is the rule there? And Jesus is telling them that here. The Sabbath was made to bless man. Man was not made to keep the Sabbath. Why was the Sabbath given? What was the purpose that was underneath the rule? The Sabbath was given to the nation of Israel to be a blessing to them, to bless them, to encourage them, to build them up. First of all, by giving rest to their physical bodies. Some of you all in this room, I'm sure, are very hard workers. I'm sure some of you all have worked 7 days a week or more straight, always in constant motion. What happens over time if you just are constantly working and are never able to give your body rest? I mean, there comes a day somewhere down the point, doesn't it, where you just fizzle out. You're spent. God knows that. I mean, why is it that you think you need sleep every day? God did not make you to be a God. He made you to be dependent. You are a creature, and your body needs rest. So we rest every night, and as we go to sleep at night, we're able to say, we know that God is in control. I can rest my body. I am not in control while I'm sleeping. God is God, and I am his creature. And then one day out of seven, God gave man a time to sleep, in a sense, a time to rest, a time to sit down and not work because he knows what our bodies need. So God gave the Sabbath to these people to be a blessing to their bodies. So the body can repair itself and get ready for another day or another week at work. We need rest. But it was also supposed to be a day where they remembered the salvation that God had given to them. So not only was it to be a blessing to the body physically, but it was to be a blessing to their spirit, to their soul. A day to remember, a day to worship, a day to think on the goodness of God, to set it apart from all of the other distractions. And I think you would agree with me that we are a distracted people today. I mean, you are probably distracted as you sit there. Phones buzzing in your pocket, news going on somewhere in the world that you think that you've got to connect to right now. And God is saying it is good for you, not just your body, but for your spirit, to disconnect from all of that and spend time focusing only on me. He knows what's best for us. He knows what your soul needs. Your soul doesn't need to know what's happening in China right now, the other side of the world, news that's happening in Washington, D.C., can't you set aside one day? And we can't. So the rule was there to establish a day for these people to rest. And not just rest their bodies, but rest in the Lord. And don't you need that too? So the Sabbath was given to man to bless him, not just to give him another rule or stipulation or command that he has to keep. God is not just interested in rules. There's purpose. There's purpose underneath of those rules. And so these Pharisees had come along and they were not examining why that rule had been given to mankind by God. They just cared about the rule. And they had turned a day that the Lord had given to them to be a great pleasure. And these Pharisees had turned it into a curse. That's the first intention of the Sabbath. That's what Jesus is saying here, that Sabbath was made for man. It was to bless him. It's a gift from God. I don't know what the children of, I'm talking about the little children. Maybe some of you all grew up in homes where you observed the Sabbath day and the kids were like, what on earth are we supposed to do? We just sit around all day. I don't know what the children of Israel were thinking on the Sabbath day. But hopefully their parents were teaching them that God knows what is best for you. And he says you need to set this day aside for him and for rest. Secondly, the Sabbath is intended to point us to Jesus. It's intended to point us to Jesus. Look at what Jesus is saying here. If the Sabbath was made for man, if it's made for man, how much more is it to serve the purposes of the Son of Man? That's Jesus' title for himself. That's a dignitary title. He is the Son of Man, the supreme chief of men. The Sabbath serves him, not the other way around. He makes that clear when he says the Son of Man is even Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath day belongs to him. It's his. He established it. And he, of all people, should know what it is intended for. Not the Pharisees. And so his aim is not to simply burden man with rules. Jesus' aim is to bless man with the rest that he gives. Jesus gives a kind of rest that the Sabbath was always intended to point us toward. But before we get to Jesus as being our Sabbath rest, I'd like for us to acknowledge for a minute how attractive it is to turn our religion into rule-keeping. Turn into just a set of rules that you are supposed to abide by. I'm sure at some point or another you have come across Christians, group of Christians, church, somebody who has laid out Christianity for you in such a way that all it seems like is, if I keep these rules, then I will be a holy person of God. Well, that is not the truth. Now, don't get me wrong, there are certain kinds of rules that we keep. But it's always going to be because they are right and good, not simply as a list of rules that we have to keep without asking why. So our religion can so easily be turned into rule-keeping. And the word religion, to a lot of folks, is just synonymous with rules. Religion means rules, right? It's like we have a default button on us somewhere that gets bumped a lot that makes us want to turn following Jesus into a list. To make us legalists like the Pharisees. Let me give you an example. I could preach all of this about the Sabbath day, and at the end of our time together, have somebody come up to me and say, but Pastor, are we supposed to keep the Sabbath? Like at the end of everything, after I'm going to lay out for you how Jesus is our Sabbath rest, that it is actually pointing toward him. There's something inside of us that just wants to know, tell me what I'm supposed to do. What rule am I supposed to keep? Am I supposed to keep the Sabbath? Well, I'm not exactly going to get into that, but if you want to, I've got a sheet of paper back here behind this box. You pick up one of those on the way out, and it actually answers that question for you if that's where you land after this. But I'm trying to show you that we have something in us that just wants the rules. We just want the minimum of what is it that I'm supposed to do to make God pleased with me. And what I'd like for you to see, it's not just about the rule, it's about Jesus himself. What you do with Jesus. That's what's underneath this Sabbath rule. I think it could be likened to another question that might come to your mind from time to time. Let's say it was a Sunday where the Bible passage was dealing with money. Dealing with money, always a sensitive issue, isn't it? Always an issue that strikes fear into the hearts of people. This church, they're just after my money. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about money. Jesus has a lot to say about money. And maybe you're wondering, or what you would wonder is how much money am I supposed to give? You know, the offering plate came by a little while ago, and maybe it made you feel a little uncomfortable. I don't know. Maybe you thought to yourself, am I supposed to give? How much am I supposed to give? And so we would think that passages from the New Testament might teach us that. How much am I supposed to give? But if I was teaching on money, I would say to you that the Bible's principle on giving is always generosity. It's just generosity. That's what the New Testament emphasizes. Never a specific dollar amount that you are supposed to part with. But wouldn't you at the end of the message still maybe ask yourself, but Pastor, is generous 10%? Is that the question that might be in your mind? Is that sacrificial and generous enough? Because again, we want to know the minimum requirement that I need to do to make God happy with me. We want hard and fast rules. But guess what? Jesus wants us to grasp more than rules. He wants us to grasp the heart of God that is underneath those rules. And concerning money, just so that we're clear there, the principle is God is generous. So much so that God gave his son for undeserving sinners. He sacrificed for our need, and that sets the standard for giving, not a rule. The generosity of God that he has shown you, which makes us generous and sacrificial givers, whatever that looks like. To ask the question, but isn't that 10%? That kind of misses the point. The gospel takes us beyond the rule to the heart of God, and that becomes our standard. Does that make sense? I'm going to assume that's a yes. So Christ and his gospel are the principle that is underneath the law. Let's come back to the Sabbath, okay? The main thing about the Sabbath, the main thing about the law of God is that you see Jesus and what he has done. That's where they're pointing to. It's Jesus and the gospel that change you, that make you able to keep the substance of his commands. And what is the substance of Jesus' command? What is embedded in every law that is given? It is love. God's love. Not a worldly definition of love. God's love. Sacrifice. Generosity. God is a cheerful giver. So in the case of the Sabbath, the main thing is not what you can or cannot do on any one day out of the week. It's that you know that the Sabbath finds its fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ. That was his intent all along. That you receive the blessing from him that the Sabbath was pointing to all along, which was what? Rest. Rest is what the Sabbath is aiming at. You find rest in Jesus. And so just as the Sabbath was meant to be a blessing to man in giving him rest, so the Lord Jesus has come to us to give us a greater rest, a blessing much better than setting aside one day out of the week, rest for your soul. What do I mean by rest? It's a rest from works. And I don't mean a rest from your physical job. But the spiritual work that we might think that we have to do, like rule keeping, the things that we think that we have to do in order for God to be pleased with us, in order for God to accept us. I must do this if God is going to delight in me. Again, that's our default. Jesus has come to set us free from that. Because that is a burden. If you think your salvation is always dependent on you and how well you do, it is a burden that your back cannot bear. It's a burden that Jesus alone can bear, and he has. And he's come to do that for our souls, to give us rest. One final illustration, and we'll be done. Many employees, maybe this describes you, many employees don't know what their boss thinks of them. They go to work every day wondering, like, am I going to get on his bad side? Might he fire me? I mean, they're thinking, like, I've got to work well enough to impress him today so that I am worthy of the pay that he gives me. I've got to work for that every day. I never know where I stand with him. But what if one of those employees is his son? Do you think that the son goes to work every day thinking those same thoughts? Now, hopefully he and the father, let's not get too deep in the analogy here, okay? Hopefully they've got a good enough relationship where the son feels secure enough in his relationship with the father that he doesn't think his relationship with him depends on how well he works. He knows that if I mess up today at my job, I am still loved by my father. That's rest. And that's the kind of rest that Jesus has come to give us with the Father. It's a type of a knowledge that God is satisfied in me and that my work is not perfect. I do sin. I do fall. But because of Jesus, I never have to doubt again that I am accepted by the Father. Does that make sense? When you know that you are secure with someone, that's rest. When you don't, it makes every day a burden. Jesus has come to give us that kind of rest with the Father, where you don't have to doubt anymore, and you don't have to work for it. Man, that takes such a load off of your heart. Jesus has done it all for me. He is, brothers and sisters, he is our Sabbath rest. Man, that's what he wants these people to see. And that is why he gets so frustrated at times, because they're so focused on the rule. They can't see the delight that God has come to give to their souls and yours. Jesus gave the promise in Matthew chapter 11 that says, come to me, all who labor, work, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly, and you will find rest for your souls. That is good stuff. That's the gospel. You don't work for it. You don't keep rules for it. Jesus has done it. You trust in him, and what he has done becomes yours. Jesus is your Sabbath. So please see past the rules and see what Jesus is, and come and find a Sabbath rest for your soul. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the wisdom of Jesus Christ. He was always pointing people past the rules. He was pointing people to himself. We love you. We thank you, God, for the security that you have given to us, where you don't leave our salvation up in the air all the time, leading us to wonder, where am I at with God? Jesus makes it certain that we are secure with you if we were trusting in him. He has done everything for us. That is good news for a wearied soul. And there may be wearied souls in this place. Show them your son. Show them your son. Show them his goodness. Show them his grace. Show them how they can become a son or daughter of the King through him and find rest today. We can enjoy the Sabbath rest now and then enjoy it forevermore with you in heaven. Bless us, Lord, with a day of worship, a day of seeing Jesus. But let us not make it all about a day, but to make it all about him. Close with one final